You're listening to Daycare Overhaul, Doing Childcare Better, presented by Childcare BizHelp.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to Daycare Overhaul, where we do childcare better. I'm Caroline Jens.
I'm Justina Patterson.
We're so excited to be here today. And I think, Justina, you're going to be spearheading our topic today.
I'm super jazzed about this.
I know you are. Like, you have been talking about it for like a week now. How excited you are to have today's topic.
I get fired up about this. I spent hours and hours and hours preparing.
It's going to be a good one. Before we get started, I need to talk about something fabulous. The cupcakes. You didn't have one yet.
I haven't had a cupcake.
Okay. So it is Valentine's Day, at least right now when we're recording this podcast. Mm-hmm. And there are these amazing cupcakes that are life-changing.
And I have to believe you because I haven't had one yet.
If I get amped up this morning, it's because I ate the whole cupcake and I had a couple cups of coffee. A couple cups of coffee.
And say that five times fast.
Right? So anyways, I'm feeling pretty good.
I couldn't tell.
And I kind of feel like cupcakes, do they relate to branding at all, which is what we're going to be talking about?
Yeah, we could probably make a leap somewhere, but not really.
Yeah, like how do you fit cupcakes into the brand of your childcare center? That's the question.
You also have a cupcake truck? I don't know.
Ooh, cuppies, remember? Mm-hmm. Should we tell the cuppy story before we get started or no? Am I going down a rabbit hole?
It's okay. We can tell the cuppy story. I don't really know how it started. I made cupcakes for something one time.
Okay, so at our old childcare center, mm-hmm. you make these little teeny cupcakes that you can swallow just in one bite.
Well, you probably should chew them before you swallow.
Well, I did chew it, but it was amazing.
Like the mini cupcakes.
Mini cupcakes with little fillings in them. Mm-hmm. And that was when I truly fell in love with Justina because she made these amazing...
Because I made cupcakes.
Amazing little cupcakes. And yeah, so.
Well, now they're replaced by the cupcakes from today.
They are, because I've never had a cupcake as good as yours until today. So I'm sorry.
It's okay, because when they stop making these cupcakes, because it's probably seasonal, you'll have to just deal with mine.
Well, on that note, fine.
Take that.
Take that. No, so I'm excited. You're going to do a lot of the talking today because this is an area that you are really passionate about and very knowledgeable in, and I'll let you get us started.
Okay, so we're going to talk about branding, and so let's just start with, Caroline, what do you think branding is? Like, if you had to define it, how would you define it?
So when I think branding, I think of not only a look, but kind of that feel you get from the business. So a brand, I feel like, should tell that story of who that customer or who that business is without necessarily even having to say the words of, you know, being really descriptive. Does that make sense?
It does. So what do you think most people think branding is?
Honestly, just, you know, talking to people that we talk to every day, a lot of people think branding is the logo. Right?
Yeah. And I think I would agree with that. I think the people that don't do branding probably think that the brand is the logo.
Right. And that it stops at the logo. Like right. Once you have your logo, you're branded, you're good to go. You slap that on a bunch of procedures and binders, put it on your website, and you're like, you're good to go. Right? Isn't that it?
Wrong. I think it's a great place to start, but there's more to it than that. So as we get started, I just want to define a few things so that we know that when we say the word, what we're using it for.
Perfect.
So brand, and I'm just going to read it so I make sure I get it correct. You have to think of your brand as a person. It's a living, breathing thing.
Oh, man.
Then imagine that same person telling you about themselves, who they are, what are their values, and what they can offer. That is a brand.
That's really descriptive. And I feel like that's a big responsibility.
It is. It can be overwhelming. But my intention for today is just to kind of not overwhelm you too much, but just give you some great information on, you know, why it's important and how you can tackle that in your centers.
Awesome.
Okay, so a brand includes many other aspects like your mission, your values, your core values. I think that those are self-explanatory. We did talk about core values in podcast number one, so you can check that out if you want some information about that. But it also includes your messaging, and that's what you tell people. It includes taglines, which is like your slogan. It includes your logo, which we talked about, which is a symbol or a graphic element. And sometimes that includes text that they use to represent, that a company uses to represent themselves. And then tone of voice. This is a tricky one. It is how you say something in written or spoken form. And often one of the hardest things to nail down. It was for us, but we'll talk about that later.
So you don't want to be like an angry teacher voice?
Probably not. I venture to guess that would not be attractive to potential families or teachers.
So like if they go to your website and you have a career page and it's like, we want to hire you.
I'm not sure how you would write that, like really like caps, like as big as you can.
Yeah, like all caps. You know how when you get a text and it's like all caps.
You're like, why are you yelling at me?
Right. That's like a voice, right? That's, you know. So what if you did that on your homepage? It was just all caps.
Well, that's interesting you say that because I think there's a time and a place when it's appropriate to use all caps. So that's interesting that you said that.
Mm-hmm. I must be reading your mind again.
You do that all the time. I always like, get out of my head. I was just thinking the same thing when we were talking about podcasts yesterday. You did that. And I was like, get out of my head. I literally was just doing that. So there are other aspects which include colors and fonts and all that kind of stuff too. So we're going to get into that. First, though, we need to talk about why it's important to be concerned about your brand. So why is it so important? Caroline, what do you think having a clear brand is and why is it important?
Oh, goodness. So if I think of myself as a potential family and I'm trying to research where I want to put my child, if I go to your website or your social media or what if I talk to someone at my child's, you know, soccer game or whatever it is, there's a story that's told with your brand. Mm-hmm. And if it doesn't look the part or if it doesn't say the right things that are going to attract me to want to follow through and actually tour your center or pick up the phone and call you, you're missing the boat. Mm-hmm. You know, if you pay money to have a logo designed or a website built or brochures printed or whatever it is, and it's not telling the right story for your target market, for your brand, you're not going to be attracting the right people. So I think it's extremely important.
Well, you basically took the words right out of my mouth.
Yes.
So having a clear brand creates trust. Mm-hmm. You know, it supports your marketing efforts. It inspires your staff. And it can even generate new customers, which impact your financial bottom line. When it isn't clear, it's confusing to people. You know, like you said, like if it doesn't match, if what you hear from someone and what you see in person or whatever doesn't match, that's really confusing for the consumer. And it can make them worried that you don't know who you are.
Right. Like what if you got referred to a childcare center by one of your friends and they're talking it up and you go look at their website and it's like, oh.
Right. And I think that then you're like, well, what does she see that I don't? So then you have to like, okay, maybe I need to go tour. But what if you tour and you're still like, I don't get it. So maybe that company or that center isn't representing themselves everywhere else, even if they're doing great things in the classroom. Sometimes it doesn't even matter. You know, first impressions are everything. We talked about that before. Mm-hmm. And really, your brand is the first thing people see about you. So if it's not a clear story, that's really confusing.
Exactly. Exactly.
Can you tell I'm like fired up?
I know. You're all right. Keep going.
So I think that we have a pretty good understanding of what brand is and why it's important. It's essentially everything. So the question is, how do you brand your center?
I would imagine you're going to tell us like a million ways that we can brand our center.
You know, I think so.
Or 1,001 or.
So I just want to kind of tell a personal story from when we were at a center together. We had one location. We had a logo. We had some colors. It was great. And then we're going to open a second location. And so we were working with someone else to set up a marketing strategy. And we're talking like about messaging and stuff. And we're like, what do we even say about ourselves? And I think it was at that time we're like, we don't really have a brand. You know, we have the stuff and it's great. But how do we communicate that to everybody?
Well, I think we were telling all these different stories, weren't right. we?
Yeah.
Like everything had like this different message. So mm-hmm. how confusing would that be from a prospective family or a exactly. prospective employee?
Exactly. So what we did, and I think that this is the most important place to start, is we started with core values because we didn't even have them at the time.
Right.
And I remember clear as day sitting in that meeting and we're like, we need some core values that will help us set the tone for everything. And so we set some core values and everything kind of.
Yeah, it really was the foundation, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, we really had to do some self-reflection and decide, you know, are these just words that we're going to put out there to give this image? Or is this truly who we are and how we teach and how we interact with each other? Or are we just using these words?
Right.
And I really feel that is kind of where our success started because we finally, for the first time, really knew who we were.
Mm-hmm. So I just want to back up for a second and just say that let's assume for the situation, as we talk through what you need to do, you have a name already for your center.
Step one, done.
You need a name. So I just think that that's important to because that really is something that you need to decide for yourself. I don't know that I can recommend anything of how to name your center. That's
well, I do have a recommendation.
Okay.
And hopefully you don't have this upcoming. But you have to really be careful when you think of learning center, childcare center, daycare, academy, preschool. The terminology that you use to name your center is important. And so you really need to look at what do those words mean? And does that really encompass the philosophy of who we are?
Right.
So I'm really glad you brought up the name because that's actually, I never think of the name,
mm-hmm.
but that is a huge part of your brand. If you start with saying that you're a learning center and you don't put a high priority on learning, then did you name your center wrong?
I feel like you just need to do a mic drop.
Mic drop. Done.
So that is a good point because I do talk about later, like words matter, all that kind of stuff does matter. So, but let's just say for argument's sake, there's a name already in existence.
All right.
So you're either going to go through a rebrand or you're going to be branding your center essentially for the first time, even if you've existed for 25 years.
I
don't know. Like sometimes you can and you don't really have a clear brand. So are we good with that?
We're good with that.
Okay. So my recommendation is don't make any changes on anything until you know what you're going to do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you might have an idea like, okay, we want to do this logo. And then you put it all everywhere and you're like, we don't like the colors that are in it. So then you're going to have to go back and redo it. So I would say don't do anything until you're 100% set because things can change. And as you navigate through the process, you might be like, well, we don't like how that looks. You know, we worked with someone and we had their colors and we put them on the website. And we're like, we don't like these colors. We don't think that they go well. And so we're like, what do we do? And so we end up talking with the client and we're like, okay, so this is where we're at. We're having a really hard time with this color combination that we've kind of set forth for you. What do you think about switching it? And we know, and thankfully, she was like, yes, that's a great idea. We worked through it and we came up with a better combination. But that's a prime example. We had already started making stuff with those materials. So we were jumping the gun a little bit. Do you remember that?
We learned a lot from that one. And you know, that's a really good point. So when you are looking at your colors and your branding, not everything looks good on a website that looks good on paper that, you know, so you really have to be careful what you're doing there.
Right. So you have your logo, you're working on all this stuff. You need a tagline. So for us, Childcare Biz Help, our tagline is, I'm going to look at it because I don't know it off the top of my head.
Yeah, we had a long tagline.
Well, and it's kind of changed and we've kind of gone through a rebranding process mm-hmm. too. So ours is business solutions to increase profits, enrollments, and staff. And so whatever your tagline, it kind of tells a little bit of your story. And, you know, at our old center, we had like 12. And that's where it got really confusing for people when we were figuring out our messaging. So we had to kind of...
12 different taglines.
12 different taglines to be used at different times.
We did. It was like, pick one. And any day.
And I could see different versions of the same one. But I don't know that having 12 different ones is really a good idea. It's confusing.
Right. And I kind of think of it as kind of that elevator pitch, right? You know, that tagline is that, you know, what can you say in the fewest amount of words about your business that lets the consumer know exactly what you are?
Yeah, that's not hard or anything.
That's not hard at all.
Well, and I think, you know, finding a company that can help you through that process. I mean, I know of a great one. We might be a little biased, but it's us. That could help you through that process because it's a lot and it's overwhelming. And I don't know how anyone can manage it themselves.
And having someone that really understands childcare,
mm-hmm.
you know, knowing that target market, those families and the teachers that you're trying to attract, it's more than just the families that you have to worry about when you're branding.
Right. So we have our core values. We have the name of our center. Now we need a logo. So whether or not you're changing your logo completely, because it's from 1983 and you need a new one.
83 is not that long ago.
In the world of branding, that's a long time.
You're making me feel really old.
There's companies that alter their branding like every 6 months.
Oh, what?
And you know, and it's not major things, but it could be like a minor tweak here or there, you know, to keep everything fresh and relevant.
You don't recommend that childcare centers?
No, okay. I don't.
I didn't.
But I'm just saying, like, if it's significantly old, it might not even be a brand new logo. It just might be a reinterpretation of the same logo that you already have. Like, that's okay.
I agree.
You know, we've done that for a client too. They had this logo. It was fine, but it was dated. And so we just kind of reinvented it.
Right. And have fun with it. Like, don't be afraid to do that refresh.
Right.
And have fun. You know, that's a really great opportunity to do kind of a grand reopening, a rebooting of some mm-hmm. sort. And
have a party.
Have a party. I mean, it just is another reason to just really kind of play up a fun event.
Right. So it's okay to change your logo slightly, change it completely, change the colors, all that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. But I want to talk about what to think about when you're creating a logo.
Okay.
So I think there's a few key things that you should think about. Number one, does it accurately depict who you see yourself as a company? And again, that kind of ties into the name because a lot of times, at least in childcare, there's a logo that has some graphic elements mm-hmm. and a name tied to it. So does it match what you see yourself?
Okay.
Number two, when you look at it, does it give you the feel that you want?
Mm-hmm.
And I know we talk about feel a lot, but I think that it's something that it's hard to explain, but it's just something you can, it gives you a good feeling.
Right. You can totally tell in a logo if you're going to get an academic feeling, if you're going to get that nurturing feeling, is it, you know, kind of that innovative feeling? So you can really get a feel for what a childcare center holds tight and dear.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. Based on the imagery, the font they use and all that good stuff. For
right.
Sure.
And so you think it's like super, not a big deal.
But like, let's just put a tree and a kid underneath the tree and
it'll be
flowers
great.
And it'll be great.
But it matters.
Right.
So number three, and I think this one is really funny and you probably think it's funny that I think that this is important. How is your logo going to look if it gets screen printed in one color?
Oh, yes.
So I know it's funny, but it has merit. Let's be real. Screen printing in 5 or 6 different colors is going to be expensive. And everyone wants logo shirts for their company. Am I wrong here?
You're not wrong.
So is it going to look okay if it's all one color? Or is everything going to get like mashed together and you're like, I don't know what this picture is.
Right. Like there's no outline because it's like 10 different things squished together and now they're in one color and you're like, it's a blob.
Right. And that's not good for your brand because it's not strengthening it. It's breaking it down because it's not being translated
wow.
correctly.
That is a really valuable piece of information that I wouldn't know to look for that. the fact that if someone were to come to me and say, here's, you know, three logos to choose from, and one of them's got all these pretty colors in it, what's to stop me from picking that one?
Right.
Wow.
And I'm not saying that you can't have that. And if you have a logo that's like that, oftentimes when you work with companies, they're going to give you variations of your logo. So you're going to have your main logo, and then you'll have an altered version that's typically user-friendly, so you can use it for those multiple things. Mm-hmm. And as long as the components are the same, which means the elements in it are the same, then it's okay to use different ones. Right. As long as it's not two totally different things. So does that kind of make sense, or is that kind of a lot?
No, it makes sense. It's a lot, because I think a lot of us, you know, we're past that and we're kind of looking back going, whoa, I wish I would have known that kind of thing. But right. That's very good information.
So you have your elements and you have them all picked out and it's great. And you've done the test how it's going to look in one color, and you're like, great, it looks good. And now you have to worry about the fonts and the text.
Hold on tight, everybody. We're going to be talking fonts, right?
How did you know?
Because I can see it. I can see the color of your face changing.
I get really... Okay, so I love fonts.
Do you want me to tell your nickname, or are you going to tell it?
You can tell it.
Her nickname is Font Snob.
I am. But I feel like I'm not the only one in the universe that's like that.
I feel like you are the only one in the universe like that. Because I've never met anyone so concerned. How long will you search for fonts to find the right one? Seriously.
I think it depends on what I'm doing.
I'm airing your dirty laundry right now.
It could be hours.
Okay. I will spend 30 seconds. You will spend hours.
Well, I'm going to get into why it matters.
Okay.
Okay. So everyone knows typically that I am not a big fan of Comic Sans.
Wait, we just got t-shirts made for our company in Comic Sans.
I would never let that happen. How funny you joke about that.
You don't know your birthday.
Okay. So I'm sure everyone's like, it's great. It's a great font. Why don't you like it? Honestly, I don't think that if someone were to pick that font, I think that I get it. You work with children. It's fun. But we're not appealing to children when we make a brand. We're appealing to families, parents, teachers. And a lot of the times Comic Sans gets a bad rap because it's misused. So this is going to be super nerdy. And I did some research because I wanted to know specifics. So when it was created in 1994, so it's not really that old, the intent was for the person that was, so Microsoft was having this platform that was for financial stuff, and they thought that Times New Roman was too harsh, so they wanted to pick another font that wasn't so harsh, and the person that made it was fond of comic strips and like the bubbles.
Are you kidding?
I am not kidding you.
Wait. Okay, so this font came from basically someone at Microsoft. Mm-hmm. Is that what you're saying?
Yes.
All right, first of all, I'm going to call you out on being a nerd, the fact that you know this.
I looked it up, okay? There is a fantastic New York Times article that talks all about it. We're going to link it on our website in the description. No one's going to care about it but me, but I read it and I thought it was fantastic.
Wow.
Okay, so...
Wait, so if it's good enough for Microsoft...
It was not good enough for Microsoft. Okay. So... The intent was it to be used with, like Microsoft Bob, was what it was called. And it was like a financial thing, but it got rejected by them.
Does that make you happy?
A little bit. But it somehow ended up in Microsoft 95 in their offerings. Like the font got uploaded.
Is that funny?
So it was kind of a mistake. And it gets a bad rap. So there's actually the creator... His name is Vincent Kinnear or something like that. I'm probably not pronouncing it right. Said in this article, if you love Comic Sans, you don't know much about typography. And if you hate it, you need a new hobby. Which is hilarious to me because I don't really like it. I wouldn't recommend using it.
Do you know everyone on this podcast is going on their computer, going in a Word and looking up what is Comic Sans? And wondering what the deal is.
And I think I think the majority of the people that don't like it are people that are graphic designers because of how it looks, and its lines are not even. It's
right.
There's a lot.
So when it comes to branding and Comic Sans, you know, that sends a message mm-hmm. about your image, right? And we probably don't necessarily want to portray that kind of childlike
right.
Comic Sans.
Well, and there's a picture. See, I'm not done talking about Comic Sans yet. I have a lot to say.
All right.
So there is this picture that has floated around the internet for probably 5 months, 2 years, and, you know, 4 days. I don't know. And it's a picture of someone's, it's the sign that says something, like instructions. And attached to it is another picture that says, "We're a Fortune 500 company, not a lemonade stand."
Oh my gosh.
But, which I think is funny, but think about it. If you saw a law firm using a font similar to that, you would be like, what is going on? Hmm. It doesn't match what you anticipate the brand being. A law firm, you would anticipate like some sort of sleek, modern, you know,
right.
font.
Right.
So fonts matter.
They do matter.
I have another story about why fonts matter. Okay, all so right. I'm done talking about Comic Sans.
Okay.
But I do have another story about why fonts matter. And I think it's perfect that we're recording this on Valentine's Day. And this picture is also famous on the interwebs. Maybe we'll find it and we'll put it in the description. But it's a picture and it's two signs that say, "You'll always be mine." One is written in a nice little like script font, which is like cursive, and it's happy. The other is written in what looks like dripping paint and it's smudged.
Oh, like Halloween, like murder.
So right. So one, you're like, oh, that's so sweet. Cause they're both in, of course, red. And you're like, oh, that's so sweet. And then you see in the same, in a different font, you're like, that's terrifying.
The other one's like, be mine.
Right. So that's why fonts matter. Like they tell a story in and of itself.
I get it.
So
that's great. That's a great visual.
You know, and like, and you think you're like, that's ridiculous, but it's true.
It's people so true.
See a font and they attribute it to something. And I would venture to guess the majority of people are not font snobs like I am. And so they might not see that, but some people do. And it kind of, it comes with its own set of, you know, right. I don't know what the word I'm looking for is, but you make assumptions about it based on a font.
That's true. No, that's good. Really good.
So
now everyone's going to look at their fonts.
Okay. So let's move past fonts.
Okay.
So you have your logo. You've worked with this company. They've given you this logo. There are a few things that you need to make sure you get from these companies. And this is why I get really fired up, is because we work with centers all the time that don't have these necessary components that they need. If you're working with a company that makes your logo for you, you know, they're going to give you what they call like a style guide.
Right.
And it is essentially your logo, the fonts used in it, the colors that you picked, what's appropriate to use when. It's going to, you know, have the color codes. And I'm not saying it's going to say this is red. A color code is like a specific set of numbers and letters.
This is bright red.
This is angry red.
This is angry red.
And this is, you know,
happy blue.
I was going to say
happy. I'm on a tangent.
Happy pink.
But happy pink?
I don't know.
No, pink is like precious pink.
Or like, you know, sunshiny yellow.
Ooh, I would shout out to Crystal. We can talk about orange.
Yes, Crystal loves orange.
Hi, Crystal.
Rabbit hole. So they should be providing you the style guide that says, here's your logo. Here's the variations of the logo. So remember I talked about there's different times to use different logos. They should have both those for you and when it's appropriate to use them. Because you're not the expert. That's what you paid them this money for.
Right.
You've hired them. They need to be showing you this is what it's for. That's their job.
Mm-hmm.
They need to be giving you a color guide so you know what colors to use. They need to give you the font guide and what the fonts are so you know what fonts to use. And they need to provide those fonts for you if you don't have them.
Right, because sometimes you have to buy fonts, sometimes, right?
And fonts can get expensive.
They can get expensive.
Like hundreds of dollars, oh, not man. Like 25. Oh. I mean, there are fonts for that cheap, but there's some that are hundreds of dollars. I wouldn't recommend using one. That's kind of crazy, but there are.
My font cost $1,000.
I'm so fancy. No, I don't know.
We're an academy.
So So they should be providing these to you. They should also provide you a high resolution, transparent image. So what that means is it's a picture of your logo and there's no background to it. It's clear so that you can put it anywhere. Does that make sense?
It totally makes sense. I love using transparent PNG.
Yes, it's a PNG file typically.
Because you can put them on everything.
So they should provide you with that. They also should provide you with what we call a vector file, which is a file that you would send to like a screen printer. It's typically an EPS file format.
Are you talking Greek now?
So they should provide it to you. You shouldn't need to ask for it. Right. But it's the file extension is .EPS.
Okay.
That is what you would give to someone and say, hey, we want the screen printed on a shirt. And they should give you every version of your logo that you have.
Man, and we work with so many childcare centers that all they have is the like JPEG of their logo.
That's really small.
You can't do anything with it. You can't pull colors off of it. They don't know what fonts they are using. And then we're having to recreate from scratch.
Right. And so I want to get across that ask for it because you need to have it. They should give that to you. If they don't, ask for them for it because you're paying for it.
Right.
You need that.
And don't pay $25 for a logo.
No. I don't really know what the going rate for logo is. I think it depends upon who you go for. But I think it's
Don't go on Fiverr and buy your logo.
People probably don't know what Fiverr is.
Fiverr's awesome.
As you just say, don't use it.
Don't use it, though, for your logo. Sorry.
Not an ad, but we love it.
It's not an ad.
So they should provide this to you in a nice little pretty zip file that they send to you and you unzip it.
How do you unzip it?
You right-click and hit... It does have a zipper on the little icon.
Are you getting sassy because it's Valentine's Day?
Yeah. No, I'm getting sassy because I get fired up about this. And it frustrates me when I see these centers like, we don't know that.
Yeah.
No, it's not okay. Right. Companies shouldn't be doing this to people. And I think a lot of times if I was not in the industry, in the field that I'm in, I wouldn't know to ask for those things.
I agree.
And so I just want to empower you as a listener. Ask for them. You need them. You should get them.
Right. It saves a ton of steps when you're going to redo your website or you're printing materials or you're wanting to do employee appreciation and company swag and whatever it is that you're doing in your childcare center, making sure you're starting off at that base.
Right.
That the right file is very important.
Right. So to unzip it, typically, I don't know how it works on a Mac. I don't have one. But on a PC, right click, extract all. It's going to show you the file where it's going to go. You hit OK and it will unzip the file. And you can pull it all out.
Done.
Okay. I get fired up about that.
I guess.
Okay. So now we have our logo. We have our colors. You know, we have our core values and our tagline. We probably already have our mission and our values. That kind of happens all at the same time. Mm-hmm. So what do we do now?
You go home for the day.
Well, you could and just say, I'm going to pick this up on Monday. The next step is you have to make sure it's translated to everything. Mm. So I think what you were talking about is you get that. You're like, great, it's my brand.
I've got this nifty file.
If you're watching, I'm like, woohoo. If you're listening, that's what I was doing. So it doesn't stop there. It has to spill over into everything you do. So when someone goes to your website, it should feel the same. So you create these logos, and that's just part of your brand. Now you have to create the stuff. Right. You have to create your marketing materials. Excuse me. You have to create the look of your website. And so generally, you're going to hire someone to do that for you. Mm-hmm. And they're going to help you through that process. And they're going to take this style guide that you had, and they're going to turn it into this look. It's okay to tell them, no, I don't like that. I want to try something different. You have all the power. I think sometimes, and I even do this personally, like I get afraid to say, no, I don't like that. I would feel bad, like telling someone like, no, sorry. Like you put all this work into it. Like, I'll just deal with it. Like, no, you need to just advocate for yourself and say, I don't like that. I do like this. You know, this is what I like about different things. Like tell them.
But you do want to listen to the expert.
Yes.
So I want to stress that because when you're, especially if you're working with someone that understands your industry and they're do this on a daily basis, like this is, they know how to design websites, kind of like us. they're oftentimes the expert can guide you in a way that maybe mm-hmm. you weren't thinking.
Right.
So keep an open mind. Right. Would be the one thing that I would say. So as it is okay to say no in terms of, you know, maybe I don't necessarily like this or that, you know, keep an open mind on what the experts have to say in terms of, based on their experience building websites, how the user kind of navigates, what kind of experience they have on your website, that kind of thing.
Right. That just takes me back to our former life when we were at a center together and we needed a new website. So we got a new website. Do you remember that?
I do.
We got it and we're like, we don't like the colors that are in our logo anymore. And we hadn't yet changed them. And so we had these old colors and we're like, we don't like how that looks. So then we took it upon ourselves at that point in time to change the colors in our logo. It was minor.
It was minor.
Most people didn't notice it.
It was really cool though. And that's a really great example. You know, we go in build a new website, not even imagining that we were going to change the look of our brand. And then once we started like really diving into how we wanted to portray ourselves online, that was when it was like the light bulb went on, like, oh, the way we look right now looks so old and outdated. Mm-hmm. It's in these colors that really aren't appealing and they don't fit our target market.
Right.
Because our target market was kind of a different market than what our colors were speaking to. Mm-hmm. So that was smart on our part to actually step back.
Right. And I think that if you already have your logo and stuff designed and you need a new website and then you see the new website, you're like, I don't like my logo. I don't like the color. Like, it's okay to switch the color. Like, that's okay to do that. Just make sure when you go through the process, then you change everything else. Cause I think some of the worst thing you can do is have different versions of your logo out. That's confusing too.
Well, like on Facebook, mm-hmm. Instagram, you know, you LinkedIn, like all that stuff has to get changed.
Right. Well, and, you know, talking about our story at Child Care Biz Hub, we literally just went through, mm-hmm. I wouldn't say a total rebranding, but a small one where we...
Like
we,
a reboot.
A reboot. Yeah, a facelift. I like to call it a facelift.
Oh, we just got facelifts. Nice. Wait, do I look 10 years younger?
Clearly 10 years younger. So when we did that, we're now in the process of changing everything else.
Right.
So, you know, we have our logo that we have gone, and honestly, most people might not even notice because it's not very different.
Right.
But we changed it just enough to kind of modernize it a little bit. And so now we have the process of updating everything else. And that's a big undertaking, and I think it can be overwhelming to people. But that's where you pull in people that can help you do it.
Right.
So you have to have your website kind of match. And again, the people that can help you that are experts, they'll help navigate how's this going to look. And that's going to kind of set the tone for the rest of your stuff. Mm-hmm. And then you update all your marketing materials, your brochures, your business cards.
Oh, yeah, the business cards.
Any flyers you do.
Your swag.
I think the whole point, and I like to use this as an example, is if you know you have a strong brand, if someone sees an ad in a newspaper, okay, I know it's old school, they don't see the name, but they instantly know it's you. Because all of your stuff has the same look and the same feel, mm-hmm. and they just know it because they've seen it and it's just everywhere. They walk into your center and they feel it. They see it in the paint colors.
Right.
Like, I think it's easy to say, no, let's just paint the walls as whatever color, but it should match what your brand is.
Right. And you can have two very different locations.
Right.
Two very different target markets. But you could still get, you still knew our brand when you walked in the door, when you went up to the facility, even though they were very different facilities. Mm-hmm. You still got that same feel, the same philosophies came from it.
Right. So it might not just be the paint on the walls and the posters you hang up. It might be other signage. Maybe your brand is kind of really, you like, you're into natural stuff. You want to have that like organic foods or all that stuff. So you put some natural wood on a wall. It doesn't have to look the same at every center, but it should be included in every center.
Yeah,
in
like
some
grab
way.
Pieces, right?
Grab pieces. And you can put them together in a way that, because like you said, not every building is the same. So you cannot put the same poster, the same place in every center. So maybe you have an alternate version of the poster that is the same kind of message. It just, maybe it's turned a different direction, or maybe it's broken apart into four different posters or whatever that is.
Remember we did custom wallpaper? Remember that day?
Remember that day? I got really excited about it.
It was the most beautiful wallpaper ever.
Mm-hmm.
With a child care center's brand, it was perfect. But that wallpaper couldn't be put up at every one of their locations because right. of like textures on walls and et cetera. So even framing like the wallpaper and other mm-hmm. things and incorporating it in the other centers in a different way, right. I think was a really cool idea.
Right. And you know that, you know, you have some centers that maybe they're brick. Well, I don't know if you know this, but I don't think it's easy to drill into brick. I think it probably takes some.
You probably can do it, but I don't want to.
Right. So you might have to affix things to the wall walls that are temporary. And so that's where just pulling elements together really creates this atmosphere. And I think to do that, like put together a mood board, which is essentially like basically Pinterest.
Is it like I'm in a bad mood or a happy mood?
No, you pull things in like things mood. That you like.
Oh.
So this is all part of the whole process. So you might say part of our brand is we're, like I said, into like the organic stuff and natural. And I think wood and those kind of textures are a really great complement to that. And so you want to include some sort of wood element somewhere in your centers. You might not know what that looks like, and that's okay, but you know you want to use it. You know, we helped a center brand, and that was part of their motto. So we put up some wood, and mm-hmm. we put signs on top of it. And the signs were not, they were the same, but not the same size. The layout wasn't the same, but at least it was the same kind of material, so that even though the centers were very different layouts, you still get the same feel when you walk into them.
You know, and I'm just going to point out that how that affects your unity in your staff. So your brand, and maybe you touch on this, but your brand should also speak to your employees because they need to be communicating the same message. And you want to build a foundation that no matter what center you're in, your employees are thinking the same.
Right.
They're feeling the same. And that feeling comes from your brand.
And, you know, you bring up a good point, and I don't touch on this here, but how can you trickle over that brand? Words are hard. Brand into your employee break room or mm-hmm. resource room or whatever kind of space is for the employees. What can you put in there so they can also feel it? And maybe that's where you put your internal mission and you put mm-hmm. it on the wall and it's the same. And so that they know that you're thinking about them too, because ultimately, yeah, you want to have new families, but you also need to attract new staff.
Right. Good stuff.
So the last, one of the final things I want to talk about is tone of voice. And I mentioned this earlier. I think it's the hardest thing to nail down because it's how you say the things you say. And I think it can be more important than the things that you say sometimes.
Right.
So when thinking about it, you don't want to try to be someone you're not. And tone of voice is not just how you're talking. It's what you're writing, which is also hard. Like, you have to think of a tone of voice when you're typing something. That's not easy to do. And so I just want to kind of bring it back to what we did. Like I just mentioned, we went through, you know, a kind of a brand change. And with that, I was like, we need to define our tone of voice.
Uh-huh.
It was so hard. It took me a really long time. I'm like, how do I do this?
Yeah, but you nailed it down.
But it wasn't easy. It took a really long time. And I think it took a long time because, you know, there's you and I that write some stuff. But there's also Nick and Maddie.
Right.
And we don't all talk the same.
Don't forget about Crystal, because she's out there writing too.
Not Gunny. He does not write. He just barks sometimes. And we don't have to worry about that.
Gunny makes appearances. That's his job.
Right.
So he's Mr. Gunny making appearances.
The greatest.
I think he's
of all time.
Like the mastermind behind the operation.
Don't give our secrets away.
It's really what makes childcare biz help different.
Gunny.
But it's like Men in Black. You know, the little guy in the guy's brain, like when he opened up. Did you ever see Men in Black?
It's been a few years. Like, I think I saw, like, when it came out.
It looked like a real human, and then, but inside his brain was this little guy. So I imagine Gunny behind the scenes. Okay, I'm taking it too far.
I feel like if I was like on the same wavelengths as you, I would know what you're talking about, but I've got nothing.
This is called lack of sleep.
It happens. So for us, I'm like, so there's five of us here. We all write different. We all talk different. But we all need to, when we put out things for childcare biz help, we need to sound the same. And it goes the same for childcare centers, especially if you have multiple locations. Mm-hmm. Setting that tone of voice and how you want to appear and tell your story is so important, so that even if someone, like, what if someone transfers from one center to another and the tone is not the same, and they, you know, and I think the tone comes into play a lot on social. Mm-hmm. Because you're constantly posting. So for me, I always was, when I was at the center, I was always so mindful of what I said and how I said it, because I didn't want to offend somebody. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think, because I'm a super sarcastic person, I was like, this is so funny. But I'm like, wait, what if someone doesn't interpret it that way?
That's a really good point.
So you have to be mindful of that. But I think more importantly, you have to know who you are and just be unapologetically that person.
I have an example, if you don't mind me interjecting.
You interject.
So I just talked to someone that has multiple locations, and they've been approached a couple times by the community asking them to open up new centers. And what's interesting is, imagine if you had 2-3 locations and each one of your locations were speaking a different story. Do you think communities would be coming to you asking you to build a childcare center in their community? So look at the opportunity that you might lose out if you're not speaking a unified brand message. You might be, this center, actually the community that wanted them there built their facility for them.
Wow.
Yeah. I mean, could you imagine missing out on that? But it's because that they built a really strong brand. They had a unified voice, and the community wanted that and said, hey, all you literally have to do is, like, take your brand, put it in this building, and we're going to give it to you.
Well, I don't know anyone that would be like, nah, I don't want to do that.
Right. But they got that opportunity because they knew who they were.
Right. And so I think that that's really important. And honestly, you might not know it right away.
Right.
You know, it might take you a little bit of time, and I think that's okay. For us, and what I did is, I knew what our person looked like. So if imagine, again, your brand is a person. And so I knew what that person looked like, kind of like attributes to their personality. And we defined it. We were like, mm-hmm. This is what they look like. We made a little avatar, but we still were like, well, how do they talk? Like, we knew kind of like some of their attributes, but how do you put that into words? It's hard. Mm-hmm. It's very hard. And it took me months. Maybe not months. It took me weeks. I think it took me like a month.
Well, it's probably because you spent so much time on fonts.
No, because we had already had our fonts determined. Right. So I had that all figured out. I didn't have to worry about fonts or colors.
You know what's really cool, though, is this avatar that you built. It gives a visual. Mm-hmm. So when we are writing content in my head, I can visualize this person. Do you want to explain what they look like?
So we determined our avatar was somebody in like business casual clothes. So dressed nice with sneakers.
With sneakers.
And a cape. Which sounds a little crazy.
I should have brought my cape down today. That would have been a perfect prop.
Yes, for everyone listening.
Well, they're watching too.
But so that sounds so silly. And we kind of knew the person's personality. We had kind of defined that. Like, well, how do they talk? And so I think that you make a good point. Like, once we had defined our avatar, we kind of backed into the tone of voice. Mm-hmm. And I think that has been beneficial for us, so that we know, like, we keep that person in mind when we talk. And I think it's important for people to do that. It sounds kind of silly, but then it's clear.
It's super clear, because you need to be able to speak that when you're the center director and you're talking to families, whether you're doing it through email or on the phone, if you're the one posting social media, if you're the one placing the employment ads. Every one of those people doing those various functions has to be speaking on behalf of that same avatar mm-hmm. person.
Right. And so what I ultimately ended up doing is I did a bunch of research, and I found brand archetypes. You can Google it. It's out there. There's 12 of them. And we read through all the descriptions. They're kind of like an iconic symbol. So there's like the Joker, the Outlaw. I can't remember them all, but there's 12 of them. And they come with descriptions.
The Explorer.
They come with descriptions, and then they list companies that are in that. Mm. And so it kind of helps you get your tone of voice going if you know what your archetype is. And I know that this might not be for every center, but I think if you really want to dive in and create this huge brand and like this, I think it's a good thing to iron out your tone of voice.
Right. And it's never too late to go back and create this avatar that you can then present to your team, all your staff, all the way down to your teachers right. and your kitchen and, you know, everyone that is interacting or referring your center should know who this avatar is because mm-hmm. they should speak that same language.
Well, and I think it's also important It's important to say. So, you know, a lot of centers might have a pretty great brand and they just need to turn it up a notch or they just need to spread it out across multiple locations or they need to make sure it matches across all their marketing materials. It's really easy. Like you make a marketing material, you have this great brochure, you don't touch it. And then you're like, oh my gosh, this is our old logo or we don't do this anymore. So just checking yourself and like, I'm going to just maybe once a year. I mean, that might be overkill for some people. To just kind of take a look at everything mm-hmm. and like, does this all match?
Right.
Does it all feel the same? So to make sure that everyone's on the same page, you should create a brand guide. Our brand guide is 25 pages long.
All right. You're scaring people.
And I'm going to say not everyone's needs to be 25 pages.
It can be two.
But it should not be one.
It should not be one.
You can't fit all the necessary information that you need on one page. So what your brand guide should include is your logo, all the variations of your logo that are approved, the fonts that you use, when you use them. Did I say colors already?
No.
Colors, because the logo, the style guide is going to have all that in it already. Right. So that'll be there. But you can also include your avatar, mm-hmm. some talking points for your company, some messaging that you want to get out. Your core values so that everyone knows them. Everyone should, but
right.
it's great to have in one place. And maybe some graphic elements and if you have some of those, we want wood in the center. We want to have this acrylic sign.
Right, like those necessities that need to be in every mm-hmm. center that you open to make sure that your brand is being portrayed the same.
Right, and I think write it in a sense that if you have a new person come on board, you can hand it to them. They can read it and they can understand it.
Do you know what Starbucks does?
What does Starbucks do?
This just came to my mind. Also not an ad.
We just love Starbucks.
Right. So they, every month or every quarter or whatever it is, whenever they change their specials or whatever, they get a shipment and it basically tells them exactly how they should be laying out the specials, how they should be laying out, presenting the material. You know, the different coffees, et cetera, for the month or quarter, whatever. And every location is given that same guide. So basically, in essence, they're getting a brand guide like on how to communicate their retail offerings. And it's really the same thing that you're talking about.
Mm-hmm. Well, then there's no questions. And it should leave no room for interpretation. It should be, this is what it is. This is how you use it. And this is how we, you know, how we portray it. And it should all be there. And I know it's overwhelming. It's a lot to take in, but just do one thing at a time. If you just need to go back and just start with your logo or you start with core values, you know, start there and whittle your way through it. And it will take time. It's overwhelming. I get it. Find someone to work with. We know great people. We're biased, but you can't do it alone. And sometimes what you might think your brand is and what others perceive it as could be different. So having like a third party in there to say, this is what we're getting from that. Is that what you mean to put out there? Mm-hmm. Because if it's not, then that's a problem.
Right.
Then there's a mismatch there. And so how can we fix that?
Right. So just stepping back, kind of taking in a third perspective kind of view on what you're putting out there, the message that you're saying to prospective families, to prospective employees, to your community, how are they perceiving who you are? Is that who you want to be perceived at? And if it's not, then, you know, slowly make some changes.
Mm-hmm. And like I said, I think if you just have that brand guide, that should maybe be like 3 pages, maybe 4, depending upon what you have to put in there. I think it's a great place to start. So then there's no question.
Great. Those are awesome overhaul branding strategies.
I just need to look at my notes and see if I forgot anything.
I think you got everything.
I think I did. And I think people that have one center might think, is it important? Mm-hmm. What would your answer to that be?
It's never not important. That's my answer.
Yes.
I don't care if you have one center, you want to do childcare the best you can in that one center. Mm-hmm. You want to put the best image forward because you want to honestly make the most money possible.
Right.
Because whether it's not about the money, because we all know this, we say it all the time that childcare is not money, but what you are running, you want to maximize your profit. And to do that, you need to have a very clear voice on who you are and who you're targeting and what kind of service you provide. So if you have one location, if you've got 40 kids, you still need to know your brand.
Right. So it goes from one location to 20. And when you have one, maybe you don't have all the aspects because it's not necessary.
Right.
But you don't know if you're doing that one so well that someone's not going to come to you and say, we're going to pay to build a center and just make it the same. And so that's where it comes into play.
Great point.
So I have a challenge.
All right.
So my challenge is to take a look at your center. Does it tell the story that you want it to? And if not, what are some things that you could do to just make it tell the story that you want it to? And how can you streamline that across one center or multiple centers?
Good stuff.
I mean, that's pretty easy, right?
It's very easy.
Easier said than done. I get that. It's a lot. It's overwhelming. But I just want, it's important. You know, it matters. It matters the story that you're telling.
Yeah, I know this was a pretty intense topic in terms of, you know, branding. And we all may feel like, you know, I'm a center director, I'm a teacher, and it really isn't my role in this company. But branding is everyone's responsibility in terms mm-hmm. of being able to communicate that message. And it's definitely a topic that we need to hear. So you did right. a really great job giving us Thanks. All the different aspects of that. I love the challenge. Thank you so much for everyone listening today on Daycare Overhaul, where we do childcare better. And we always like to hear from you. So first, I just want to say, if you have another topic that you would like us to talk about, we would love to talk about it. So just email us at info@childcarebizhelp.com. And then if you want to share your overhaul strategy.
I was going to say, find us on all the social.
All the social.
All the social. Facebook, Instagram, and just #overhaulwin.
Yes.
And we'll talk to you guys next time.
Talk to you next time, guys.
Bye.
Bye.